What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. We have tons of tools to get you ready to smoke your buffoon league mates in our redraft rankings manifesto. Whether you're looking for our consensus tiered-based rankings, top 200s, and by position, fantasy football news blurbs to keep you informed and find this year's Puka Nacua, risk ratings so you know how risky the draft picks you're spending are, the truth series so you can see how their 2023 season went, or you can compare our rankings to Sleeper, to ESPN, to Underdog, to Yahoo, to NFL, whichever platform you're drafting on, we have you covered this year with our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. Right now, you can get our draft guide for free by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 and using code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com. Use the code FSE for a 7-day free trial, 30% off any of the packages, and all of that is linked in the description of all of our videos if you need the links for that. All right, let's roll the pod. If you guys are picking picks 1-4 in your fantasy football drafts, this is the video for you. Today, we're going to go through all of our early round strategy. If you guys have one of those high first round picks, the tier breaks, the targets, the fades, the buckets of value that we're targeting, going through our top 36 overall tier list rankings in the process. And at the end of this video, we'll do two dueling mock drafts, me picking from 1, Danny picking from 4 in the first one, and then me picking from 3, Danny picking from 2 in the second one. Should be a lot of fun. Of course, we will be covering picks 5-8 and picks 9-12 in the coming days as well.
Yeah. And while you guys are watching these videos, you know, the 1-4, the 5-8, the 9-12, through the week of the August 19 to 23rd area, we'll actually be in Austin, Texas. We're going to be doing a meetup on the Thursday. We're going to be meeting up with some of your biggest Flock Fantasy site creators, you know, like Mason, the Dynasty Land guys, the Dynasty Domain guys. Should be a ton of fun, you know, a jam-packed week of content. We're going to be trying to bring you guys a ton of Underdog live streams in that stretch. Again, if you guys are in Austin on that Thursday, make sure you pop out.
Yeah, we're actually having a meetup at a local bar in Austin. So if you guys live in Texas or you live in Austin, you want to come meet us, you want to come meet Mason, you want to come meet all of the Flock Fantasy subscribers, we do actually have a link down below in the description where you can purchase tickets. It's essentially just an RSVP saying that you would actually show up to the place, but definitely check that out. That's flockfantasy.store, link down below in the description for that. But let's get into the video. Picks 1-4 strategy. Within the first 4 picks, the strategy is definitely going to vary depending on which pick you have. Obviously, your strategy is going to differ if you have 101, 102, 103, or 104. In round 1, the top 3 players in some order are consensus across the board, across pretty much every fantasy platform. You're going to see some combined order of CeeDee Lamb, Christian McCaffrey, and Tyreek Hill. It kind of is going to depend on each league platform and, of course, your own league settings. And now you guys can see our rankings on the screen there. You see that we do have Lamb, Hill, and McCaffrey as the top 3 players, similar to all the consensus boards for Sleeper, NFL, Underdog, all the major fantasy platforms. So for us, your strategy is going to depend on which guy you get. If you have McCaffrey, obviously, you're going to have a different strategy than if you have one of the 2 receivers. If you do grab one of the receivers, I absolutely love being able to pair up one of those top receivers with a couple of those, you know, early to mid second or 2-3 turn pick running backs. If you can get 2 of Achan, Pacheco, ETN, or Kyren, then you can run a nice double hero RB strategy, or you could just run a hero RB strategy with one of those guys. Let's say Achan falls to you at the 211 and you took CeeDee Lamb with the second pick. You can grab Achan at the 211. Maybe into the third round, you grab Nico Collins or another anchor wide receiver. Maybe you deviate for a starting tight end. I really like the strategy going double hero RB, whether you get McCaffrey or whether you get one of those top 2 receivers. If you go double hero RB with the top 2 receivers, you would take your running backs in round 2 and 3. If you get McCaffrey, obviously, you would only take one more running back before the end of the third round.
Yeah, and the one caveat I will say is that's specifically in shallower lineups. Like if it's a 2 running back, 2 wide receiver, 1 flex league, I'm much more willing to grab 2 running backs in the first 3 rounds if you're in a top 3 selection, whether that's, you know, like you said, Lamb or Hill at that 1 or 2 or 3 spot, and then grabbing 2 at that 2-3 turn, or potentially building around McCaffrey, grabbing one other running back at that 2-3 turn. Because in shallower leagues, like we've mentioned in the Yahoo, the ESPN, the Sleeper Strategy videos, you do tend to see the running back dead zone in display in those leagues, specifically between the round 3 to 7 areas. So if you're in a shallow league, grabbing your 2 running backs early is the best approach. However, I will say once you get into leagues with, you know, 3 wide receivers, 2 flexes, 2 wide receivers, 2 flexes, I actually do personally prefer the hero running back draft strategy picking in the top 3.
Yeah, exactly. Because like I said, if you grab Tyreek in the first round and you determine that your league format is one that is conducive to a hero strategy, like you said, you three wide receiver, one flex leagues, two wide receiver, two flex, full PPR type of formats, you can grab yourself Tyreek Hill. You can grab yourself, let's say, Nico Collins, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel in the second round, and then maybe grab yourself an anchor running back in the third round with Pacheco, with ETN, with Achan, with one of those guys. I will say, though, like, even in those type of formats, like, for example, my home league, and I'm actually picking in this area of the draft, as I talked about already, so I'm pretty familiar with this area of the board. I actually am still likely to go double hero, even in my own home league. That's a full PPR, two wide receiver, two flex, because of that dead zone factor, because of the fact that I might get locked out at running back and get some great wide receiver values later on in the drafts in that dead zone area. And also my home league has accelerators to the running back positions for first downs and things of that nature. So again, know your league format, know how exactly you want to attack the board, but essentially with this picks 1-3 area, whether you go Hill, whether you go McCaffrey, whether you go Lamb, essentially you just kind of want to go the opposite pick position wise in the second round. If you go McCaffrey in the first round, it probably makes sense to take a wide receiver in the second round. And then if you want to go double hero, maybe take another anchor in the third round, or you could go with another wide receiver there. So regardless, you're going to look like some combination of two running backs, one wide receiver, two wide receivers, one running back. To me, I feel like it's a smidge early to deviate for a tight end, deviate for a quarterback, or potentially even go like a full on zero RB as well, taking three straight wide receivers. I personally, regardless of league format, would like to get one anchor running back.
Yeah, like you mentioned, the last thing I will say on the picks 1-3 area is that if you guys are in a draft where you can pick your draft order and you have the first, the second, the third overall pick, these need to be the three picks overall off the board. Because as we'll get into, you know, with the 5-8 strategy, with the 9-12 strategy, the top three is the clear as day best spot to pick. Not to mention, you do get access to those elite picks at the top of that screen, but you also get your pick of the litter in that early third round. So we do feel appropriately that having a top three pick is the biggest advantage you can have in fantasy this year. However, I will say, if you do end up landing pick four, should you be upset with it? Not in the slightest, because although there is a clear top three at the top there with McCaffrey, with Hill, with CeeDee Lamb, I also really do like the fourth overall pick, especially in a home league draft, knowing how to attack and build around that first tier two player, whether it's you want to build around a running back, grab your guy like Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson, or whether you want to grab a stud wide receiver one like an Amon-Ra St. Brown, a Ja'Marr Chase, a Justin Jefferson. It's really how you want to structure your team. Are you a big wide receiver enthusiast, or are you the type of guy that really loves to have that secure anchor running back with a legit legendary profile that I believe both Bijan Robinson and Breece Hall possess this upcoming year? And of course, like we mentioned, in 1-3, depending on what decision point you make in the first round, if you go with Breece Hall in the first round, you're more likely to take one or zero running backs in that second or third area, versus if you take a wide receiver in this range, I'm actually more willing to at least take one, possibly two running backs in that round 2-3 area. So for example, let's say you pick Breece Hall at that fourth overall pick. You're in the second round and Nico Collins falls to you. I'm more than comfortable taking Breece Hall, Nico Collins. And then if Isaiah Pacheco were to fall to me in the third, I'm willing to take that second running back. But if Isaiah Pacheco's off the board and the next available running back's a guy like, you know, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs in that third round, I'm more than comfortable building a hero approach. Really, in the top eight as a whole, as we'll get into with the 5-8 strategy video, staying fluid and building your first three pick strategy around who you take as your anchor in round one, try to stay as balanced as you can, I would say, is the optimal way to approach it.
Yeah, and like, if you guys are just wondering which player we would take at fourth overall, assuming the top three go as, you know, chalk, and obviously if one of them falls to you, you just take them. We have Breece Hall and Bijan Robinson, actually, as our fourth and fifth overall players, assuming you're in any kind of half PPR standard, even full PPR with not like five wide receivers that you can start on a given week. Like, if you were in a three wide receiver, two flex league, and you had the fourth overall pick, I would probably recommend you take Amon-Ra St. Brown. Agreed. Or Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson, whichever wide receiver you prefer, but I prefer Amon-Ra St. Brown in that type of format. But most home league formats are like two wide receiver, one flex leagues, half PPR standards, even full PPR. I think I'm comfortable getting the anchor running back there with Breece Hall and kind of going into my next couple of rounds trying to figure out what I want to do beyond that point.
Yeah, 100%. Another takeaway that I kind of mentioned too in the 1-3 area is depending on how shallow versus how deep your lineup settings are, if you can start up to five or six wide receivers a week, full PPR, you know, maybe some big play bonuses, the wide receiver position is most likely going to be the preferred option in the first round versus, like you said, if it's a half or even a full PPR, but it's a shallower lineup, you can only start up to 3 to 4 wide receivers a week. Grabbing your anchor running back, knowing the rest of your league mates are going to be taking, you know, 3 in the first 5 rounds, 4 in the first 7 rounds, getting ahead of the position so you're not left, you know, facing, oh my God, well, this guy just took Joe Mixon at the 310. This guy just took Rashad White at the 402. Oh my God, my favorite 8th round running back target just went in the 5th round. To avoid having that circumstance where now you're left behind the 8 ball at running back, grabbing an anchor at the lowest opportunity cost early is your best approach.
Yeah, as we talked about throughout the ESPN, Yahoo, and Sleeper Strategy videos, it makes sense on these home league platforms to break ties early in the draft with the running back position being a little bit more scarce than the wide receiver position in the mid rounds. And speaking of the mid rounds, like with each of these two different approaches, either going with Tyreek, going with CeeDee Lamb, or going with one of the other top wide receivers, or going with McCaffrey, going with Breece, going with Bijan, with any of your top 4 picks, the goal is that you're going to probably deploy either a hero running back strategy, depending on best player available, a double hero running back strategy, depending on best player available. But we all in the mid rounds want to avoid the running back dead zone, especially if you take 2 running backs in the first 3 picks, using that area of the draft to catch up at wide receiver, to catch up at tight end, maybe deviate for a quarterback if the value is there. Specifically with each position group at wide receiver, you want to be drafting a lot of them. Sometimes you can miss the tier break at the 4-5 turn, I've noticed, where instead of looking at, say, Metcalf, Neighbors, Kupp, DJ Moore, Devontae Smith types, you're actually looking at Zay Flowers, George Pickens, Amari Cooper, or T. Higgins. At that point in time, I don't mind deviating for like a tight end or a quarterback if that's the best player available on the board with either your 4th or your 5th rounder. And at tight end, I've noticed that specifically this pick 1 to 4 area is a great spot to deviate for a tight end, specifically in round 5. So let's say through the first 5 rounds of your draft, you take CeeDee Lamb at number 2 overall. You take Devon Achane number 211. At the 302, you take Nico Collins. You got a hero RB start. In round 4, you take the best available wide receiver. Let's say Cooper Kupp fell to you, or DK Metcalf fell to you, DJ Moore fell to you, Devontae Smith fell to you. At the 5 pick, maybe the best available wide receiver on the board is Zay Flowers, George Pickens, Amari Cooper, T. Higgins, somebody like that. At that point, I find it very, very promising and very, like, I like my teams a lot when I deviate for an elite tight end with that 501, 502, 503, 504 pick for Trey McBride if he falls, but more likely for Kyle Pitts, Mark Andrews, or Dalton Kincaid, whichever guy you prefer there. For me, I'm mainly on the Kyle Pitts side, but getting your elite tight end in round 5 specifically, or at that 4-5 turn specifically with these early picks, to me makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, 100%. And the one caveat I will mention here is unless you're a full zero RB start, which we kind of mentioned already in the video that we typically want to grab at least one hero running back early, I would not take both an early tight end and an early quarterback. And in terms of the quarterback strategy, unless you're willing to take one at that 302 spot, which again, we've already advised against, if you're in the top 4 picks, more than likely at the end of the 4th, early 5th round, you're not going to be able to get access to a guy like Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. They're more than likely going to be gone by your pick. So the way I view the quarterback position, again, the next guys up would be guys like, you know, Anthony Richardson, Kyler Murray, CJ Stroud, Dak Love, etc. My personal opinion on that group is if you can get Richardson falling to you in the 5th round, again, a smidge early, but if you want to take him there, I'm not going to fight you on it. In the 6th round, if Kyler Murray falls to you at the end of the 6th, I'd be willing to take him every single time. And then once you get into the 8th, the 9th round area, the way I'm approaching the Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott, Jordan Love area is that I'm just going to be taking the cheapest of them. Like if Joe Burrow is going 2 rounds ahead of Jordan Love and Dak Prescott, I'd rather take the cheapest option of that tier because I do think it's relatively similar production.
Yeah, absolutely. And also too, like the range of the draft you're picking, CeeDee Lamb and Tyreek Hill have stackable quarterbacks in the 6th, 7th round area with Dak, with CeeDee Lamb, and then in the 8th, 9th round area with Tua, with Tyreek Hill. So that's kind of been my fallback plan as far as someone who's actually picking in this area of their home league draft. I've been kind of just like my fallback option because I'm mainly taking Tyreek Hill or CeeDee Lamb in the mocks that I do, is I'll just take their stacking quarterback option later on in the drafts. And I'm not usually deviating for a Richardson, for a Kyler, for somebody like that. And I think the important part too of this round 4 to 7 range, the mid rounds area, is how you handle the running back position. Because as we talked about, we like deploying a hero running back strategy or a double hero running back strategy. And as we talked about in those strategy videos, you want to avoid the running back dead zone in this area.
Yeah, 100%. I do think running back strategy is the most important factor in building a well-balanced fantasy football team. And I personally view it as one of the biggest differentiators between, you know, a seasoned fantasy football player versus a newer fantasy football player. And again, the way we approach personally the running back position is that in home leagues, it's quality over quantity. While your league mates are taking three running backs in the round 4 to 7 range, attacking that running back dead zone to try to catch up, you want to grab one or two anchors at the top and not have to worry about position about the position until the late rounds. You don't want to be left in the task of having to take an over-projected running back one or two rounds early, possibly in home leagues, because every single one of your league mates are taking, you know, 3, 4, 5 running backs by the 8th round area. So making sure that you're ahead of the curve and being able to profit on the wide receiver value once all of your league mates are trying to catch up is the optimal way to approach running backs. Again, the other thing, if you invest in a running back early or you invest in two running backs early, there is absolutely no need for you to grab your 3rd, 4th, 5th running back prior to the double digit rounds.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot in the strategy video, so I'm sure you guys know that already. But if you, especially if you take two running backs in the first three rounds, like, do not just handcuff yourself and be like, yeah, I got to take a running back in round 5 and in round 6 because running backs get early. It's like, or get injured a lot. It's like, we know that. That's why we're taking only picky deviations for the running back position who we believe have elite upside. And you're kind of dealing with that inherent risk that running backs do get injured a lot. And we're going to make up in numbers in round 8+. The amount of running backs that you backfill onto your bench, because we know it's an opportunity-based position. Anybody really can be a productive fantasy asset as long as they're getting the volume. So that's how we handle the running back position. It's rounds 1 to 3, get one or two anchors. Again, if you love a dead zone guy, like I like James Cook, for example, yeah, he's there at the 410 or something, and you took one running back already and you want to do a double hero with James Cook as your second running back. I'm not going to fight you on it. I think it's a fine strategy. Just, we don't want to go over investing into a lot of dead zone running backs. It's like one deviation. And we talked about that in the dead zone versus bet zone running back video. But for the most part, we want to avoid that area of the draft. So we're going to stop talking about our strategy and we're going to actually show you our strategy. So as I talked about already, we're going to do 2 mock drafts. We're just going to do the first 8 rounds because we're talking early round draft strategy here. We have videos on sleepers and things of that nature that you can do later on. But what we're going to do in these first 8 rounds is we're going to pick from 1. I'm going to pick from 1 in the first mock draft. You're going to pick from 4. We're going to do a shallow league format. So half PPR, 2 running back, 2 wide receiver, 1 flex type of format. A lot of you guys who are playing like in ESPN leagues, Yahoo leagues, for example, probably play in formats similar to this. We're going to be using the sleeper platform, obviously, but that is the first draft we're going to do. And then the second draft we're going to do is going to be more your deeper league format, 3 wide receiver, 1 or 2 flexes. And I'll be picking from the 3 hole and Danny will be picking from the 2 hole. So let's get into the first mock draft. All right, so we are now into the mock draft. Like I said, we will be doing the shallow league format mock draft first, and then we will be going into the deeper league. So because it's a shallow league, like I said, that top 3 tier of CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, Christian McCaffrey, depending on your league format, how many wide receivers you can start, how confident you are you can get a running back falling back to you, all those type of factors would determine which guy I go with first overall. In this league format, half PPR, 2 running back, 2 wide receiver, 1 flex, I feel like Christian McCaffrey is the proper decision at 101. In more league formats that have, you know, more wide receiver spots, full PPR, things of that nature, I have Lamb and Hill ranked at 101. So it would all depend on your league format. Obviously, the board does go as expected, where Lamb and Hill go off the board. What are you thinking at 104 here?
Yeah, and like I mentioned in the strategy portion, in a shallower lineup league, I'm much more willing to take an anchor running back at that 104 spot. So for me, again, this opens up the second tier, like we said, with the 5 names mentioned, the 3 wide receivers, the 2 running backs. But because, like I said, half PPR, shallow lineup, I will be going with my next ranked running back, and that's going to be Breece Hall of the New York Jets. We saw last year, once he came off of that knee injury, averaged over 19 points per game week 5 on. So really excited for Breece Hall. I do think he has a legendary potential profile.
Yeah, exactly. And Breece Hall, I mean, he did that under the worst circumstances possible. Terrible offensive line. Zach Wilson, Tim Boyle, and Trevor Siemian were his quarterbacks. So if he can do that, imagine what he could do with an improved line and Aaron Rodgers for a full healthy season, hopefully. But even if Aaron Rodgers goes down for a couple games, we know he can kind of weather the storm and still be a good back. So what are you thinking here? Obviously, we mentioned we would like to get maybe potentially a double hero RB, especially in this type of format where you only start 1 flex and you only start 2 wide receivers and a half PPR. So what are you thinking here?
That's the exact tiebreaker I'm using here. Devon Achane, I actually have ranked higher than this in a you know, a typical full PPR, full lineup league. I actually have as a mid-second round player. So knowing the scoring format is a half PPR leaning towards the running back position, is a shallower lineup leaning towards, you know, potential legendary upside players. Devon Achane was a guy that averaged over 21 points per game last year, despite not getting the full workload. Going into year two with that explosive offense, again, also potentially mitigate some of the risk with me investing in the Jets offense. If, you know, Rodgers misses any time, maybe Brees is in a bad offensive situation, investing in Miami feels really good here. So Devon Achane, I will be taking.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally fair. And I invest in my opinion, the best offense in the NFL with the San Francisco 49ers. I will invest in the second best offense in the NFL, in my opinion, with the Kansas City Chiefs, with Isaiah Pacheco here again. In this type of format, when you got two running backs, one wide receiver, or one flex and two wide receivers, half PPR, you probably want to prioritize getting two running backs in the first three rounds, assuming it's possible. Again, we're not going to reach. I wouldn't have taken Derrick Henry there if Pacheco and Achane and Etienne and all those guys are gone. But I am going to take guys that are running backs versus wide receivers when it's a tiebreaker in this type of league format. And if it was the other way around, I would have obviously taken the wide receiver. Looking at the rest of the board, I could grab Debo. I already do have McCaffrey. Maybe don't want to go quite in that direction. I'm going to grab a guy who I think could be a number one receiver for a high powered offense here, which would be Nico Collins, breaking Danny's heart with that selection. I'm sure he probably wanted to take him, but I mean, you could always go in a different direction as well. You got Evans and Waddle and those type of guys on the board for you.
Yeah, my preferred option was Nico followed by Debo, both go off the board, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend like 304 Jalen Waddle is not a great pick. Again, people might argue, hey, you already invested in Miami. Are you sure you want two Miami Dolphins players? It's like, I think the overkill would be if I had also Tyreek on this team and it was Tyreek, Achane, and Waddle. I do agree that that would be overkill. But grabbing two pieces of what I view as such a high-powered offense in Miami, especially two integral pieces, you'd argue being the second and third most valuable players on that offense from a skill position standpoint, I'm more than comfortable being. I think both can be really, really stud players. I'm back on the clock here. Devontae Smith does fall back into my lap. Again, this is a guy I was a little bit lower on earlier in the offseason, but a lot of reports him playing more in the slot, higher powered offense in terms of passing volume this year with Kellen Moore coming in. I really do feel like at this point, 4-9, Devontae Smith is the safe pick, so I will take him here.
Yeah, pretty simple formula for us so far. Good players on good teams. That's pretty much what we've been doing here. So I'm looking at the board again. I could go in the direction of a T. Higgins, I believe would be my highest ranked wide receiver. I do believe that Trey McBride is a value at tight end, so I'm going to deviate for the tight end here. When you go double hero RB, it is a little bit more difficult to take an elite tight end or an elite quarterback, but at the same time, it is the type of format that you're able to do that a little easier when it's a two wide receiver, two running back, one flex league, because you know that depth doesn't really matter in this format. It would be really hard for me in a three wide receiver league to take an elite tight end when I only have one wide receiver on my roster, but in this format, it makes total sense that I can do that. I'm going to make one more pick here and then I'll let you counter there. What do we got here? Running back, obviously I'm not looking in that direction. I think it's a little early for Stroud, even though I do have Collins to stack him up with. I'm not going to go in that direction. Let me grab T. Higgins. I'll just grab a guy who's another great offense that I'm tethered to here.
Yeah, no, I really like that. I actually would have considered him had he had fallen back. I'm glad you made that point. In a bigger starting lineup league, let's say you had to start three wide receivers or two flexes in this league, and maybe it was a full PPR, you're much less willing to take the tight end deviation there if you start a double hero. So keep that in mind. If you're in a shallow starting lineup, you have more affordability to go on deviations, to go on detours of your lineup, because once you have a bigger starting lineup, you have to make sure you are adequate at the wide receiver position. And I do think Nico Collins and T. Higgins is very adequate in a two wide receiver, one flex, half PPR setup. But if there was more wide receiver spots or a full PPR or big play bonuses, I probably would have preferred to get stronger at the wide receiver position. So knowing your lineup settings, knowing your scoring settings, again, it feels like it's overplayed at this point. A lot of people make reference to knowing your league settings, but it really is crucial to be able to do that. I'm back on the clock here. You mentioned the importance of a onesie in a shallow starting lineup. I will grab Kyle Pitts here, a guy that I feel fully confident with the projection of that offense compared to really what we've seen from Kyle Pitts in his career thus far.
Yeah, and I mentioned that bucket of tight end is a bucket that we're targeting, and that's precisely what both of us did. I grab McBride, you grab Pitts. It makes sense in this type of league format to deviate for a tight end, particularly at that 4-5 turn if you guys have an early pick.
For sure. Now I'm back on the clock here, and a guy that I personally have a lot higher rank than where he's currently going here. I mean, his ADP is at 84.6. I feel like by the time that you guys have your drafts, whether it's, you know, Labor Day or the last week of August or whenever the case is, we will see Rashee Rice's ADP jump up, because I do feel like for the most part that's inflated with the potential pessimism of his suspension, because this is a guy that I ended up raising into my top 25, especially with the news of Hollywood Brown potentially missing the next 4 to 6 weeks. So Rashee Rice as my wide receiver 3, I'm not complaining.
No, yeah, I definitely wouldn't be complaining about that either. I think it's pretty easy click for Kyler Murray here, knowing that I have Trey McBride, get myself an elite quarterback who's stacked up with my tight end. And then I definitely want to catch up at wide receiver. But again, the nice thing about this format is that even though I am behind at wide receiver, I only have 2 wide receivers through 6 rounds, which is not ideally what I like to be in. What do we always talk about? It's however many wide receivers you can start on a given week. You want that plus maybe one more through like 7-8 rounds. So if I end up with 4 wide receivers through 8 rounds, that I'm still on track, still on target with what I want to do. I just deviated for an elite tight end and an elite quarterback option, which I believe both came at a value. I have McBride higher than the 412 and Kyler higher than the 612, and they're stacked up together. So I'm going to go back to the wide receiver position because I'm a little bit, you know, weaker at that position, and I kind of want some proven production here. I'm going to grab Calvin Ridley, who I think has a very clear role on his team's offense. I think you could make the argument, just go with Odunze, go with Worthy, go with McConkey, somebody with a little bit more, I would say, upside than Calvin Ridley. But I think I'm going to be able to get an upside option at the 812. I think there's a chance that JSN or Brian Thomas or somebody like that would fall back to me. So I should be able to patch my upside to the end of my bench behind Calvin Ridley. He's just going to be a guy to get me by early on.
Yeah, I love that move as well. I actually would have taken Calvin Ridley as well, knowing that I have some risk with Rice. But I will say, having Waddle, having Smith, I'm cool with having the risk potential of Rice. Again, it doesn't sound like he's going to get suspended, so me even saying the word risk maybe even be over-exaggerating the potential situation. But I will be back on the clock here. You mentioned the name Roma Dunze. I just need to take him at the spot at the 7-4 half PPR league, paired next to Caleb Williams. If you guys are watching Hard Knocks, it really seems like they have a good relationship at this point. Keenan Allen apparently came into camp overweight at 230 pounds. I don't think it's out of the question that Roma Dunze could legitimately be a 2 wide receiver set wide receiver for this team by week 4, week 5 of the season. So it is an upside play, but one I'm making every single time, knowing the talent profile of Roma Dunze. I will be going to the quarterback position here. And again, if this was a later mock or if this was a longer mock, I'd assume A, the quarterbacks wouldn't be pushed up the way they were here, and B, I would have waited at the quarterback position. So instead of taking Caleb Williams here in a different, or Tua Tagovailoa actually for that matter, because I have Jalen Waddle here at the 8-9, I would have probably punted, waiting to see what of this tier falls to me back at the, you know, 10th, 11th round area. But for the purpose of finishing this mop, for the purpose of aesthetic, I will just take Tua here so you guys can see the full lineup. But keep in mind, if this was a longer draft, I would have waited at that quarterback spot, knowing the opportunity cost here.
Yeah, not to mention all 3 of the guys behind you have QBs already, right? Like exactly. I have Murray, this guy is Richardson, this guy is Stroud. So even if you're going to take a quarterback on this turn,
I would have
taken it at the 9-0-4 instead of at the 8-9. So again, just for the purposes of this, he showed you what the quarterback position would look like there. Like I said, I was hoping a wide receiver upside play fell back to me, and one in fact did. In a half PPR, I think I favor the upside of Brian Thomas being the touchdown scoring guy that he is versus JSN, more the PPR scoring guy. But that is the end of this mock. Again, we said we were only going 8 rounds because we wanted to show you guys early round draft strategy. We do obviously have tons of videos on what to do in the late rounds, take ambiguous backfields, rookie wide receivers, rookie running backs, handcuffs, things of that nature. Definitely check out all that stuff. Quick recap of each of our teams, and then we'll get into the next mock draft, which is more of your deeper league format. McCaffrey, Pacheco, Nico, Trey McBride, T. Higgins, Kyler Murray, Calvin Ridley, and Brian Thomas Jr. I feel like I have a good mix of lockdown studs with my running backs. And of course, if this mock was longer, I would take a lot more stabs at that position later on in the draft. Between Nico, T. Higgins, Ridley, and Brian Thomas, I feel like I can patch together 3 really good wide receiver options to fill out my wide receiver and my flex spot on any given week. And then I have a lockdown quarterback 1 advantage with Kyler Murray, stacked up with a tight end 1 advantage in his tight end Trey McBride there. So I feel pretty good about this team.
Yeah, love how you approach it. I had a relatively similar approach, except you went both with an earlier quarterback and tight end than me versus I went with a couple more wide receivers. But for the most part, we attacked exactly what we wanted to. We grabbed our 2 anchor running backs here and a double hero strategy based off the shallower lineup format and scoring settings. Do fill out the wide receiver position there with both upside and stability. Stability with, you know, guys like Waddle and Smith that have proven it before. Potential upside to finish higher than where they're currently selected there with Rashee Rice and Roma Dunze. Gab and anchor tight end. Again, we both believe a lot in Kyle Pitts potentially taking that step up. He's still only 23 years old for that matter, actually younger than Dalton Kincaid, funny enough. And then they are able to wrap it around here with Tua Tagovailoa. Again, Like I mentioned, when I did make the pick, if this was a longer mock draft, I maybe make that quarterback selection, you know, in the 10th, 11th, 12th round area, kind of seeing who falls between Caleb to Jaden Daniels. But kind of wanted to give you that aesthetic. Plus, for the purpose of this, he does stack up with my Waddle.
Yeah, I mean, Caleb also stacks up with your Odunze too, so you could have also punted Caleb there as well. But yeah, regardless, I think it makes total sense to go in that direction. We will pivot over to the next mock draft. Like I said, deeper league format, two wide receiver, two flex, full PPR type of league. All right, so we are now into the second mock draft. Like I said, this is going to be a little bit more of your deeper league format, two wide receiver, two flex, or maybe you could also think about this from the standpoint of like a three wide receiver, one flex or something like that. It will be a full PPR, so we are going to go a little bit less running back heavy to show you guys the difference and variations of strategies. We did put Christian McCaffrey 101 for the purposes of this. We're going to probably take wide receivers first, so we want to show you how that kind of looks here. So, Danny, I'm assuming you're going to go with CeeDee Lamb because you got five Cowboys jerseys behind you. I'm going to grab Tyreek Hill. And for those of you guys that don't know already, I've detailed this in the number one draft strategy video, but this is actually where I'm picking from in my home league. So I have very much studied the 103. If you pick 103 in your fantasy league draft, I'm definitely the person to ask about how to strategize from that pick, because I've thought about it for months now. We've known where we're drafting from all the way since like the beginning of June. So I've known for a while that I'd be picking from the 103 here. So hopefully, as we talked about, even in these deeper league formats, I do like to secure potentially one, maybe two running backs if the value is there, but we'll have to kind of see what ends up falling back to us at this point in time. So I'm on the clock again. I do have Tyreek with my first pick. Somehow Sam Laporta went really high in this mock draft. As I did in the number one draft strategy video, I am going to take Devon Achane. I know we just took him in the last draft, but we're drafting our highest ranked players here. So I'm going to take Devon Achane to go along with Tyreek. And again, I am not worried about taking two Dolphins. It's a great offense. I feel very comfortable. Most of the points scored by that offense will come from these two players as well.
Yeah, 100%. Now I'm at a decision point. Obviously, if Achane had fallen, I would have taken a running back here with Devon Achane. But for me personally, at this point, I can't take Pacheco over Nico Collins. So I'll take Nico Collins. Again, you can make the case too with Jalen Waddle potentially taking a running back here, Waddle on the way back. But I do like Nico Collins. He's a top 15 player in my rankings. And I'll hope that potentially, yes, the running back does fall back again. Technically, by my rankings, Waddle would be the highest ranked player PPR leagues. He would be higher ranked than Isaiah Pacheco, but these are the decision points we have to make in our drafts. If I know inherently, given the ADP of this board, these are two players with Pacheco and Waddle that I have in a similar tier in my rankings, but it's much more likely I can get falling wide receiver value rather than falling running back value. I personally think that zero running back in a home league draft setup is less viable compared to, like, you know, doing it on Underdog or doing it in a more sharper league. So for me personally, grabbing my anchor here in the third round, again, top projectable offense, guy that showed a legitimate three down level workhorse role in the playoffs last year for the Kansas City Chiefs. Not much else there on the depth chart behind him. I feel really confident in Isaiah Pacheco potentially developing into a top 3 to 5 running back this year.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. Again, you maybe could have done a zero RB just to kind of show how it would have looked. But I will say, as we talked about in the zero RB video, I don't think this is the year to do zero RB, especially in home leagues. Like, you could have gone, let's say, you could have gone Jalen Waddle there, and then maybe at the 4-5 turn, you grab a quarterback and a tight end, and then you grab one more wide receiver at the 6-11, maybe another wide receiver at 7-2, or maybe you'd make your first deviation for a running back. But to me, it's just the way that the running back position is very top heavy this year, all the way from Christian McCaffrey at 101 and like the RB1 to about James Cook, who I think is like my RB11, RB12 in my rankings. I want to secure one of those anchors because I do believe that the ceiling aspect of the running back position is pretty good this year. Normally, there's like only a couple guys that have good ceilings. This year, I feel like there's, you know, 7, 8, 9 guys that I feel pretty good about. And that's why I'm okay making a deviation there. So I'm back on the clock. I am not going to take a running back here because Pacheco would have been the only guy that I really considered. And I'm probably going to go in the direction of Debo Samuel here, knowing that I already have an investment in one Shanahan style offense. Let's get an investment into the OG Shanahan style offense here.
I was curious if you took Waddle there. I was curious.
No, I was not going to onslaught the Dolphins there.
Yeah, fair. No, I mean, that's a question people have. I kind of mentioned it in the other draft that I do think it's a little bit too much taking three of your first three picks from the same offense. Like you kind of said, it's almost like, obviously you're consolidating your bet and you're making the bet on the offense, but the opportunity cost of setting it in your first three picks, you just don't really have any margin for error. Like, I am fine taking three players from a good offense when you're getting them scattered across the board, you know, one in the first, you know, one in the third, potentially like one in the seventh, but taking them at the 1, 2, 3, I do agree is a little overkill.
Yeah, and I think even taking Hill and Waddle together specifically is a little, like, the volatility you're going to have on a week-over-week basis for those guys is a little bit overkill as well. I think if you're going to do two Dolphins, it should be one of the receivers and one of the running backs rather than both receivers, for example. But it is a consolidated offense, and it's not the worst thing. You probably would absolutely have to draft Tua at that point if you had both Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. It wouldn't make any sense not to. So Smith is easily my highest value on the board right now. I have him ranked in like the late third round. So I'm going to grab Devontae Smith here as my next available player.
The one I thought you were possibly considering as well would be James Cook here from Buffalo. So I'm actually going to take him at the 411. Now I'm on the clock here again. This is a two wide receiver, two flex league. So you could make the case of deviating towards a tight end. You could make the case to potentially take a guy like Anthony Richardson, but I actually do prefer grabbing a wide receiver here, leaving my first five rounds of three wide receivers, knowing that if I do pass on the position, I will be left kind of having to scratch the eight ball here. So, it's really close. You know, Zay Flowers, Tank Dell, George Pickens, Amari Cooper, T Higgins are the top names on the board. A guy that I've actually been getting quite a bit higher on, especially with the news now that it's potentially unlikely that Brandon Ayuk is going to be traded. It does sound like they're close to potentially making a deal between him and the San Francisco 49ers. Is I like taking the upside shot on George Pickens here in the fifth round. I do feel like third-year breakout, obviously the potential transition of the offense with Russell Wilson coming in, a guy that has historically liked taking deep shots to the boundary. George Pickens is that exact archetype of receiver. Apparently, according to camp, it has shown that George Pickens has been trying to develop that three-level threat to his game. Obviously, we know he's this big-time deep target, but apparently he's running, you know, more in-breakers, more intermediate routes, more yak opportunity type of route. The Steelers are treating him and giving him the full route assortment by sounds in training camp. So for me, taking a talented player, third-year breakout, again, I understand the offense isn't the greatest projection, but knowing I have Buffalo, KC, Houston, and Dallas, I'm more comfortable deviating towards a bad offense.
Yeah, exactly. And this has been long a decision point for me because, like I said, I am actually picking here in my home league. Do I want to take the tight end advantage at the 4-5 turn? Like I said, I think it's a very good spot to do that. Or do I want to risk it that I can get a very solid David Njoku, Jake Ferguson, somebody like that at the 8-10, for example? Because if I could get a really good tight end option at the 8-10, like Jake Ferguson, David Njoku, I think the 2v2 is better going, say, Pitts let's say JSN, who I would get at the 8-10, versus, say, Zay Flowers or Rashee Rice here and David Njoku or Jake Ferguson there. So what I'm going to do is, because I believe in the number one draft strategy video, I did not take the tight end. I'm going to take the tight end here with Kyle Pitts and see how it kind of works out for me. But again, that is very much a decision point that I am facing in my own personal home league. Again, I think I'm going to lean towards the tight end early just because my home league is actually a half point bonus for first downs for tight ends, which is obviously at like a tight end premium format. So that's why I'm kind of gauging towards, you know, securing myself a Pitts, a McBride, a Kincaid, or an Andrews at that fifth overall pick there, at that fifth, that 5-3 that I have there. So again, people might be wondering too, why you took a dead zone running back, James Cook at 4-11, as we talked about in the dead zone versus bet zone video. We don't view James Cook as a dead zone running back. I have James Cook ranked inside my top three rounds because he has three down upside for an elite offense that just lost their top two targets from last year. So for me, I think James Cook doesn't really fit the archetype of a dead zone running back, even though he's technically going in the dead zone as far as which round he's going in. It's kind of like with ETN and Breece Hall and Rashad White and Isaiah Pacheco and stuff last year, where young running backs with three down upside who are in good offenses don't really prototype as dead zone backs. Guys who prototype as dead zone backs are the ones you see on the board right now. Najee Harris, Tony Pollard, Zamir White, guys who are in subpar offenses who have question marks about their ability. That's what a dead zone back looks like. A dead zone back does not really look like James Cook traditionally. So I'm back on the clock here. I did end up getting kind of a couple gifts here as far as who fell back to me. I'm going to grab Jaden Reed to secure my tight end position or wide receiver position. I guess I could grab one of these QBs, but I don't have a stacking option to go with them. So I'm just going to use that as a tiebreaker. Grab Reed as my fourth wide receiver. And like we said already, it is a two wide receiver, two flex that we're doing this from. So he would be a starter for me in my lineup there at my second flex spot.
For sure. And I mean, I guess my theme of my wide receivers is upside, but I mean, to be fair, Lamb, Collins, pretty steady options. It kind of feels funny seeing, you know, Collins as a steady option because, you know, he's potentially unproven compared to some of the guys in that range. But I do feel like the attachment to the offense and the level of talent makes him a very safe floor player. So I grab my upside there with George Pickens. I'm going to grab another upside piece at wide receiver. I'm debating between, you know, Rome Odunze, Jordan Addison, guys like that. And I mean, I'm just going to fall back on the sword. I took Roma Dunze in the first mock. I do think he's one of the most valuable picks right now in fantasy, so I will be taking him as well here. And hopefully, yeah, perfect. I was hoping either Dak or Kyler were to fall to this pick. Dak because I have the stack with Lamb. Kyler because he's by far my highest ranked quarterback left. So do get Kyler to fall back. Feel good about taking him here in the 7-2 area.
Yeah, and I mean, Burrow to me is really intriguing on this part of the board, but I have stacking options later on. I can risk it with Purdy, Love. Tua, and Jordan Love all still on the board, who I have, you know, the pass catchers of. I mean, I probably wouldn't go as far as saying I have Pitts, so I could take Cousins later. I would probably want a better quarterback than that, but I feel pretty comfortable that I should get one of those guys coming back to me at the 8-10. So what I'm going to do is I only have one running back so far. I could go to the running back position. To me, these guys are still very prototype dead zone type of dudes. But I also probably won't end up grabbing another running back for the rest of the draft if I end up taking my quarterback with my next pick. But you know what? As we talked about with your last pick, you and Team One both have quarterbacks already. So I might just not draft a quarterback in the duration of this mock and assume that I would have gotten my QB at the 903 there. So what I'm going to do is I already have good upside pieces, good safe pieces. I could pretty much go in any direction. I just think the best available player right now at wide receiver is Calvin Ridley, but the highest upside is probably Ladd McConkey. I took Ridley in the last mock, so I'll roll with McConkey in this one and I feel like pretty good knowing that I'm getting, like, I have Hill, Debo, Smith, and Jaden Reed already. I think between Jaden Reed and Ladd McConkey, one of those guys could be a really, really big time hit and a fixture of my second flex spot for the entire portion of the season. Again, you guys might be thinking, why didn't I take a running back there? I only have one so far. Go back and watch the Hero RB video that we did already. In this area of the draft, we don't really want to be taking these profiles that are not great, like Pollard and those type of guys. But I am back on the clock now, and I probably am going to take a running back here because I do actually like the way that the board stacks up, and I already have five receivers. So as much as I think Brian Thomas and Jackson Smith and Jigba are probably my highest rated players overall right now, I already have five wideouts, so I don't really need to go in that direction. And again, for the purposes of this mock, I'm not going to take a quarterback here. But I do have Tua still on the board, and I have Achan and Tyreek already, and Danny has Kyler, and this guy has Dak already. So if I was doing a 903, I would take Tua with my 903, but I am going to take an upside swing running back here in Jonathan Brooks, who could end up becoming a top 15 running back for me for the rest of the season. And then again, if we were doing the late rounds, I would hammer out some safer options to go along with Jonathan Brooks, Devin Singletary, Gus Edwards, Brian Robinson, Ezekiel Elliott, guys like that, who I can get by with until Jonathan Brooks comes back from injury. And hell, I could even take his teammate Chuba Hubbard to get by until that point.
Yeah. Same thing, same thought process with you at quarterback position. I'm actually going to apply to the tight end. I didn't do it in the last mock because, you know, it's a shorter starting lineup. It's pretty simple to develop depth in this mock though. Like, there's no need for me to take a tight end knowing that the best available tight end is like what, Dallas Goedert, TJ Hawkinson, Dalton Schultz. Like, those are all guys that I can wait and still get a guy that I'm comfortable with. Like, I would rather wait on a guy like Pat Freiermuth than just take Dallas Goedert to have a tight end at the spot. So make sure if you are fading a position, don't succumb to the pressure of just taking one to fill your starting lineup. In fact, especially when you're comparing the opportunity cost of some of these players on the board, there's no way I'm taking Dallas Goedert over JSN or Brian Thomas. It's just not happening. So this is kind of why we say you kind of want to sort your running back position early in these drafts, because quite frankly, JSN and Brian Thomas should not be on the board at this turn. And we can just assume that I attacked both those guys at the 8-11 and the 9-02, because they should probably be two rounds higher respectively.
Yeah, exactly. Again, you have opportunities to trade in season. If for whatever reason, let's say Lamb, Collins, Pickens, Odunze, JSN, and Brian Thomas all hit for you. All of them hit.
Yep.
You have a bunch of stud receivers. You can trade for a tight end at that point in time. You know what I mean? Like, people, I feel like, get anchored to the idea that the draft is all that you have. It's like, oh, well, you got to draft the perfect team. If you don't draft the perfect team, you're never going to win your league. It's like, no, you can trade. You can pick up guys on waivers. So if George Pickens is a massive hit this year and you don't need him because Odunze, JSN, and Brian Thomas already hit for you, then maybe you trade George Pickens for Trey McBride or Dalton Kincaid or Mark Andrews after a bad week or two to start the season.
Well, I was going to say the perfect trade market in this league specifically, if this was a real league, would be Team 7, because knowing that he has Davante Adams and Hollywood Brown's his wide receiver too, who may even miss week one, that would be the guy I'd approach. Hey, say, hey, like, JSN's really popping off. Or even if it's like, hey, George Pickens is really popping off for me, I'd be willing to do it straight up for Mark Andrews. And some people in your league may say, well, like, I had that decision to make on draft day, so why would I trade to you after? But once they start seeing the pressure of, you know, not having certain depth at wide receiver or not having at least sustainable production at that position, they may be more willing to make a move at that point.
Yeah, not to mention 1 or 2 weeks go by into the season and some of the things that we thought pre-draft don't apply anymore exactly. Post-draft, and we get more information on these players. So again, let's quickly go through our teams, and then we'll kind of wrap this video up. Again, I go with a Hero RB style approach here with Tyreek Hill as my first pick, Devon Achane as my second, Deebo Samuel, Devontae Smith, Jaden Reed, and Ladd McConkey. Between those five receivers, I can cycle any four of them in to my two wide receiver, two flex position in this league format. In PPR, again, you want to probably be starting wide receivers in your flex more often than not. And then Kyle Pitts is my lockdown tight end. As I mentioned already, I didn't take a quarterback in the first eight rounds because I know that these guys both have quarterbacks, Danny and Team One. So I would have probably taken Tua Tagovailoa with my 903. Stack up with Tyreek, stack up with Achane. I got a big bet on the Dolphins offense already. I mean, I took two of them with my first two picks, so I might as well take Tua because those guys are all correlated success-wise. And then Jonathan Brooks I grab as my Hero RB2. Again, he's not going to be ready for the start of the season, so he's more of my late season play at running back too. More so the guys that I would have early in the year is come around to the 10-10 or like some of these other picks, I might have Brian Robinson available for me to start at the beginning of the year. Gus Edwards, Ezekiel Elliott, Devin Singletary, guys like that would be who I would go with early on in the year.
Yeah, 100%. And in terms of my team, like you guys can see on the screen, did start off with the two wide receivers in a row there with CeeDee Lamb and Nico Collins. Again, I kind of have a modified double hero approach. Like we kind of mentioned, typically we want to be avoiding running backs in the dead zone. But to me, the two running backs that I got, even if, you know, specifically James Cook at the 411 is typically your prototypical dead zone area, I do view them as being ahead of that tier. So for me personally, grabbing Pacheco and Cook, not just because they fill my running back position, because I see inherent upside with them potentially finishing as top 5 to 10 options at the running back position this year. That's why I'm making those selections. Not to mention they are both insulated by their offenses there with KC and with Buffalo. So feel good about that. Do grab my two running backs, which means that I'm less likely to detour to tight end to quarterback if I do have my running back positions already filled out. Because keep in mind, the principle of the strategy, like we talked about with zero, with hero, with double hero, is that in the zero and hero format, you want to be stronger at the onesies because you're inherently weaker at running back. In a double hero type of setup, because you're actually stronger at running back, you're more than likely going to be weaker at the onesie positions because you do have to make sure you're not completely behind the eight ball wide receiver. So I made sure that wasn't the case. I grabbed Pickens, I grabbed Odunze, I grabbed JSN, and I was actually able to get a player I view as an elite onesie with Kyler Murray there. Feel like he felt a little bit of value there to the 7-2, a guy I'd be comfortable taking at that 5-6 turn type of area.
Yeah, absolutely. So feel pretty good about those mocks. Like I said, hopefully if you guys are picking picks 1 to 4 in this draft, you got some value from this video. We kind of went through everything under the sun. If you're in a shallow league, a deeper league, what we would do at 1, what we would do at 2, what we would do at 3, what we would do at 4, everything was covered in today's video. So if you got some value from it, leave a like down below. Subscribe if this is the first time you are checking us out. Make sure to check out our draft guide. If you do want all of our rankings, we kind of showed you like a teaser there with our top 36 overall rankings. If you want our positional rankings, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, our tier lists, all of our other content is in our draft guide, and you can get it right now for free when you sign up on Underdog Fantasy. Deposit $10 and it'll be in your email inbox within 24 hours. After you make your first deposit, make sure you use the promo code FSE and you will have access to our draft guide. Hopefully you guys have a draft coming up, you know, this weekend, next weekend, Labor Day weekend, whatever. You can get some last minute cramming. I know not all of you guys are complete sickos like me and Danny thinking about fantasy football 365 days a year, but we are here so that we can help you guys because you probably have lives and kids and wives and stuff that you need to attend to the second the fantasy football season is done. Whereas we are in a position where we get to think about fantasy football year round. So again, if you enjoyed, leave a like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. But with that being said, peace out and we'll talk to you soon.